Coach, you talked about it a bit in your press conference. You want to finish drives, obviously. What were some of the things you were doing well on offense that you can duplicate or do more of?
Yeah, I thought we got into times. At times, we got into a pretty good rhythm where we had a pretty good mixture of the run and the pass. And then we just couldn't keep that rhythm going. And so that's what we need to figure out here over the next couple days. Some of the plays that we were running are plays that we've been running for 4 years here, you know. And the successful ones. And then, the running game was going well in the first half, and it just didn't materialize that way in the second half, and I have to figure that out.
Coach, that team, it felt like they were kind of a run team, that they get their points kind of in bunches. They did it against the Giants where it was back-to-back-to-back touchdowns. I always kind of feared that the run was coming, and then it came in the third quarter. Is that one of the reasons that – you had to get away from the run because they do get that 30-7 lead? I mean, at that point, you got to do whatever you can to stay in the football game. But was it that, or were they able to make some stops in the second half and kind of get you away from it?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting observation. I think the way our offense is constructed right now, and you can figure this out in your own way, we're going to have a hard time stringing together 15, 16-play drives. So I think we need chunk plays, and we weren't able to get those chunk plays like we had, in past games this year. We've been able to throw the ball down the field and really convert some 50, 60-yard plays, 40-yard plays. We got a couple of those to DeAndre, but not enough, And I think that one of the things that we knew we were probably going to have to do was score. And quite obviously, that didn't get done. And then you're right. I mean, they have an explosive offense. I mean, you think about the players that they have with Gurley and Goff, the quarterback. Obviously, Gurley, the back, is a very explosive player. Big old offensive line with Sammy Watkins and Tavon Austin and Robert Woods. I mean, they have explosive players. You're not going to be able to keep them out of the end zone. I mean, they're not going to be shut out. Now, giving up 30 points, that's not what we want to do either. But, you're going to have to score to beat them is my point.
DeAndre Hopkins did have a nice day for you statistically. I know there were a lot of targets with him. A lot of attention is paid to him, yet he's still making catches. And I know for Tom, it's got to be a reliable option.
Yeah, he's a great player. I mean, just some of the sideline catches he made, keeping his feet in bounds. I mean, he's a great player. I mean, you can't really say enough about his ability to make the 50-50 catch. And, he got the OPI, which I thought was a questionable call. I don't know what he did there. I've seen him do worse.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what he did there. But he's a go-to guy. He's our number one guy. I thought Bruce came in there and played well. It was unfortunate what happened to Will. That's a big part of our offense when we lose that. But I thought Bruce made some decent plays. Really, really enjoy coaching those guys. And we just got to try to get it going.
It's so strange how with CJ coming back, you lose Ryan on IR and you can't get them both out there together. So that's unfortunate, of course. But it seems like CJ, this is his first game back in a long time. He's got to get back up to speed, right? Was there some rust there or something? Or is it difficult mix him back in?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, he was open. We missed him a couple times. He slipped on one play, on a third down play that he would have been open on. He ran some good routes on the strip sack in the beginning of the game. He's wide open, but we just didn't have any time. I mean, Donald was in there in about a second. So, CJ's a good player. He's you're probably right about that. He'd been out a while. He's knocking some of the rust off. But I thought he did some good things. We've never had all three tight ends healthy at the same time. And we have a diverse group of guys there. And it's just one of those things that hasn't worked out for us this year on the injury front.
Coach, when DeAndre makes a catch like he did on their sideline.
Yeah.
That was a pretty significant catch.
Yeah, the bow route.
Yeah, that, I don't know, 25, 30 yards, whatever it was. That was a big play at that time. And you guys now have to hustle to – what's your process for, hey, Tom, get up to the line of scrimmage and snap the ball? Are you telling him that? Are you calling a play? What's your process when you know it's close that they could possibly review? Because I saw McVay reach for the red flag and he didn't, and he did, and he didn't. What's kind of the process of going through your mind as the play caller to make sure the play gets off before they can throw it?
Well, it's a tough situation because again, I don't want to get into the specifics of the process of how we get it done, but it is a tough situation because, a lot of times if you rush to the line of scrimmage and you run a play, that play gains no yards.
Mm, right.
And that's what happened. And so I was pretty confident that he was in, but upstairs they hadn't seen the replay yet. And so they weren't able to tell me, exactly if he was in or out. They're not going to, make something up. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I went with my instinct there because he was going like this to me, and I trust him, and, you know, meaning that he had two feet in. And so I went to the line and ran a quick play, and it didn't gain any yards, and I was in second and 10, which is not a good – being in second and 10 against Aaron Donald and Brockers and those guys is not very good. So it's a tough process, but you have to go with your instincts a lot of times, and or you just let the guy challenge it, knowing that, hey, he got in and we're going to be okay. But it was pretty nip and tuck, so I went with the quick call there.
Lamar Miller was starting to get hot in the first half running the football. What was going well for you there in terms of blocking and the whole thing in concert?
Yeah, he did a good job. I mean, he hit it. He saw it. The guys blocked well on those plays, and we just we couldn't keep it going in the second half. You know, it was just one of those things. We just, you know, just got to try to stick with it. You know, I think we were getting behind there after a while in the second half. Defense was out there for a while. We're starting to having to throw the ball, and we just it just didn't work out. The running game didn't work out, but it did start out pretty good.
Coach, we've talked about this a lot through the week. Most of the game wreckers you see in the NFL are coming from the edge. You faced a number of them this year and last year. Khalil Mack, Justin Houston, Bosa. Those guys are all coming from the edge. But then all of a sudden you face a guy like Aaron Donald. He's coming from the inside. How difficult does that make it for your offensive line, for your offense, to try and handle somebody that can wreck the game from the inside as opposed to from out on the edge? Does that change things
a lot of that is it's tougher, you know, because when they're coming from the edge, which is where all the money is, the money's on the edge. But you can chip for those guys. You know, you can chip them. It's easier to chip them. There's space to your outside. Like, there's nothing constricting your ability to chip for them. But when he's on the inside, you know, it's really a lot more difficult because you have to figure out how to slide protection to him, which we did about 90% of the time. We slid things to him. We chipped with the back about 90% of the time in the B gap. He's usually a three technique. We had a couple third down protections where we were sliding to him. But then when he was one-on-one, it was tough. You know, it was tough. And you're not going to be able to, you know, to slide to him on every single play. That's right. Virtually impossible. We almost did that, but when he was one-on-one, he was a problem.
Braxton Miller gets in there in the Wildcat setup, or whatever you guys call it internally. I'm not sure what it would be, but I know you didn't get as much out of it as you probably wanted. Maybe there was going to be more if it was more successful, but that was an interesting wrinkle.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to go back to it. I just didn't like the rhythm of it. Yeah, and so it didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. And it doesn't mean that we're going to shelve it. It just means that we need to look at it and, you know, how do we do it? You know, what's a better way to implement that into the game plan? So, you know, that could still be in there because it wasn't Braxton's fault. I just didn't think that it was great for the rhythm of our offense.
But when you do that, the opponent, like the Cardinals, they're going to have to be ready for it, right? So they'll have to prepare for it. Because if you saw them do it, you'd have to get ready for
it. Oh, yeah, we'll
somehow
do it again in some way, shape, or form. Yeah. Somehow, some way. But I just have to figure out how to do it again.
But when other teams do stuff like that and throw in a wrinkle, you need to be ready for it, right? So you have to actually spend valuable time in practice preparing for that. So it's probably good that you do something like that.
Yeah, it's huge, you know. And when you have a guy like him who can throw a little bit, it's even better, you know. Mm-hmm. So we'll keep looking at it. That's for sure. Just the way that it was going yesterday, I didn't feel like it was helping us.
Okay,
Coach. One of the things we have not talked too much about was the fake punt stop you guys got in the first half.
Yeah, it was a great play by Drummond.
Yeah, I mean, it was an excellent play, and it's funny because I was watching Johnny Hecker throw in pregame. I'm like, man, that's a big quarterback. Yeah, I couldn't figure out which guy he was, and I realized that's Johnny Hecker, but that was a heck of a play by the punt team right there, in particular Curtis Drummond, because they had showed you that look earlier where he comes in motion, then he goes down the field, but then they leaked him out. That was a great play by Drummond. It gave you guys the ball back.
Yeah, they did a good job all week of covering all that stuff with the guys, and Larry did a good job there, and Drummond came up big. He made a nice play on that. That was a big play, play. And, you know, again, like, you know, you got to be able to turn that into points. You know, that's huge. If you can play complimentary football, we're just not doing enough of that right now.
And it feels like you're still looking for the consistency you want on special teams, because you got some big plays yesterday like that. You got some big punts, but you also had the punt return that gave them a short field and the missed field goal.
Yeah, I think that overall special teams has been better, you know what I mean? But I think that one punt I think you're talking about, we were punting from backed up, and that's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
You know, it all goes together.
Yeah.
The offense can't get the ball out of its own end. That punt team's going to have trouble no matter what punt team you have.
Mm-hmm.
And what punter you have, because you're punting, you know, from backed up, and it's never been good for the punt team in most situations in the NFL. So that all, you know, all of that kind of, you know, it goes together.
Do you change up the practice routine at all this week or this time of year? You're getting into the back half of the season. You're in the back half of the season. We're getting later in the year. So how do you handle the players?
Yeah, no, I think you got to watch them. Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, you still have to get your practice reps in. I think practice is so vital to us. You know, we have to get our reps in. But, you know, we got a lot of guys that are banged up. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, we'll probably watch them on Wednesday. And, you know, most of the rest of the way, our work day will be Thursday. And try to get a lot done on Thursday.
You once said about Deshaun Watson, every week he's going to see stuff he hasn't seen. And now you have Tom Savage, who really hasn't played that much football in this league, so he's probably seeing stuff every week he hasn't seen either.
Yeah.
And it's bound to get better as long as you keep working at it, right? I mean, this is a learning curve of sorts.
Yeah, Tom's a smart guy. I mean, he works very hard at it. You know, it's like I said earlier today, it's not just Tom. Everybody's got to do better. It's kind of the same refrain in many ways it's been for 4 years here. You know, it's not just one guy. We got to protect better. We got to run the ball more consistently. We got to run better routes. We got to take care of the ball back there better. You know, we can't get strip sacked. We got to hold on to the football. We got to, you know, not throw interceptions at the end of the half, you know. So it is what it is. You know, you're either winning or losing in this league, and right now we're losing.
Coach, you get ready for Arizona, and I'm sure you haven't got too far into Arizona at this point. I know your advanced scouts have probably taken a look at your quality control guys. But they got a quarterback situation where Drew Stanton's banged up. It doesn't look like he'll play. It could be Blaine Gabbert. As you get into a situation where you're facing a team dealing with that, do you worry more about the scheme? Do you think about the players? You prepare for the players? How do you handle that when it's, well, it could be this guy or it could be this guy, quarterback in particular?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something you have to go back and watch him, you know, watch the snaps that he's had, whether it's preseason or with other teams, to get yourself ready for his skill set, some of the things that he's done in the past. But I think at the end of the day, you've got to watch what Bruce Arians is doing right now. You know, what's he doing with Stanton? What was he doing with Carson Palmer? Because, you know, what he does well. Bruce is a good coach, good play caller, and, you know, I think that's in the end what you study the most. But you definitely have to go back and watch some of Gabbert in other places or the reps that he's gotten with Arizona in the past.
What about defensively? What can you tell us about them this time of week? I know you still have a lot of work to do on this.
Yeah, no, it's similar to, you know, the Rams. I mean, it's similar to the Rams. They're you know, they've got good guys up front, and, Patrick Peterson on the back end, and, you know, they're an attacking style defense, give a lot of different blitz combinations on third down. You better be on your toes. I mean, it's not easy. It's going to be very challenging, and got a strong front. The kid they drafted last year, Kim Dichie's playing better, those types of guys. So we all, you know, everybody's got to do a better job this week of preparing and being ready to go because it's another big challenge.
With your offensive line having to be ready for something like that in practice, I know you have the scout team and all the schematics there, but also the physical part of it. How hard is it to balance that? And you're just saying you want to be careful with their bodies because a lot of guys are banged up.
Yeah, I think you still have to, you know, at least once per week, you have to have a physical practice. I mean, you can't just – I believe in that. Now, if you have a bunch of guys out, if the injury list is, you know, a long, long list, then you can't do that. You're not going to be dumb about it. But, you know, this week it seems like, you know, we do have some guys banged up, but hopefully by Thursday guys will be feeling a little bit better and we can have a good work day Wednesday and Thursday.
Coach, Sunday, Andre Johnson going to the Ring of Honor. I know you had 1 year with Andre. We've talked about that a little bit, but how cool is that going to be for your players to look at somebody that they held in high regard go up in the Ring of Honor? How valuable is that to your players to be able to see something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great. You know, the amount of respect that Andre has in our locker room, you can't even quantify it. I mean, everybody has tremendous respect for him. He was a quiet leader. He was a very tough, tough guy. You guys know better than me. You watched him up close and personal more than I did. I only saw him from afar except for 1 year. And that 1 year I came in, you know, it was the latter part of his career, but he was tough, made tough catches for us on slip screens and third down catches and, you know, got hot there with Case Keenum at the end of that year. And, you know, just a tough, tough guy and a guy that led by example, didn't have a whole lot to say. We'd have leadership meetings. He wouldn't have a whole lot to say, but you knew everybody was kind of waiting to see what he was thinking. And he did a good job for us in our first year here, which, you know, that's not easy. You know, you've been used to Coob for a long time, and now here comes this guy who's totally different. You know, it's not easy to probably deal with that, and he did a great job. Like I said earlier, I'll never forget when he held out a little bit that spring, and then he came back to that team meeting. you know, for that mandatory minicamp. I mean, it was a standing ovation. Mm-hmm. You know, guys were just so excited to see the guy. I mean, that's where it really hits you. Like, this guy has a lot of respect in this locker room.
And you still have veterans like that on the team, guys like Jonathan Joseph and people like that. And how important are they right now to keep everything together mentally? I know they're all pros, they're all compensated and everything, but you're going through some tough times right now, and you need everybody to stick together.
Yeah, no question. It's great. You know, we have a good locker room. You know, we really do. I think in some other locker rooms, maybe they'd be worried about that. But, you know, if guys not showing up or whatever, our guys will show up. You know, they'll play every week, and we just need to play better. And we need to try to get a win here this weekend. But I'm not worried about our locker room. You know, they really have a strong bond. They play for each other. And, you know, I think this year's brought them closer together, even though we're not where we want to be. I think there's a bond in that locker room that's unbreakable.
I've got the Amagee Bank of Texas Ask Bill O'Brien question of the week, and I'm going to edit this one a little bit. What?
I'm sure there's many that you should probably edit.
What? Well, no,
if this show was on Sirius Radio, we'd have some real fun.
Pat Kerwin and Jim Miller with you. Here we go. No, those guys are pretty cool, though. I know I think you're on once a week with them, yeah, so yeah. They're great. I listen to them. All right, so you have a situation where college rules are different from NFL rules very often. So what college rule would you want to put in the NFL? And I thought I'd list a couple that I, you know, found notable. One would be clock stopping on first downs till the chain is set, but I'll edit that to inside the final 2 minutes of the game because I think that would change pro football. Hash marks being wider or anything else you can think of that you might want to bring into the pro game from the college rule book.
I love in the last 2 minutes, I would love to have the clock stop on to move the chains. Mm-hmm. That ain't ever happening, though.
Why isn't that happening, though? Why can't that happen?
This thing is all about shortening the game.
Yeah, but if you're trying to run out the clock, it's not going to hurt you because you'll just wait and they'll spin the clock, and you'll just wait till the play clock goes down. If you're trying to catch up, it's going to make the game more exciting, right?
I'm going to bring you to the – you'll be a guest speaker at the owner's meeting, competition committee rules meeting, and we'll get that covered with them. Yeah, I like that idea from college, but I don't think that's ever going to happen. I like the overtime. I like the college overtime rules.
You do?
I do.
Really?
Because I've won a few of those overtime games. That's why I like them.
Did
you beat
like
Wisconsin
four?
And beat Michigan?
Would you go 4 in Michigan against
Illinois,
Michigan?
Wisconsin, Michigan, and Illinois. I think maybe one more. Beat them in overtime.
Did you go 4 overtimes with Michigan?
4 overtimes with Michigan.
So you had to go for 2. You're forced to go for 2.
Yeah, well, it was 4th-and-1 in the 4th overtime. And, you know, I could have kicked a field goal to tie it. We were down a field goal.
Oh.
And I went for it.
Went for the win right there.
Yeah, I mean, these kids, we only had about 40 kids on scholarship at that point, so these kids were like, I mean.
Everybody's gassed.
Yeah, there was about 150 plays. There was like 200-something total plays in the game. And so I was just like, we're going for it. We got it, and then we threw a pass. We ran it in on the next. We got an interference on the next call and then ran it in and won the game.
Wow.
4 overtimes.
Well, I guess you
so
have.
I like the overtime rules.
Yeah, you like that.
That's not going to sit well. All right, how about
no.
this one?
And it's a tongue-in-cheek to everybody out there. I'm just kind of kidding.
How about this one? Offensive lineman that can go 3 yards downfield.
Oh, I love that. Please put that in.
I mean, if you could do that with
Deshaun, RPO.
Because I've heard John Butler speak, and he said that's the devil. Yeah. That rule right there, it makes safeties have no idea what to do.
And then, you know, the thing is, too, like, even in our league now with what some of us are doing, those guys are downfield and they don't call it. So maybe we can kind of sneak that in without even making it a rule.
Oh, they're kind of leaking downfield, huh?
No question.
Yeah, it's tough to stop.
Yeah.
I mean, you get 3 yards, you're safety, and you see these guys fire off, and you're like, oh, that's run.
Right.
Because that's what you're taught. And you go, and all of a sudden, guys running, you know, seam route, post route, he's running right by you. You saw Philadelphia did that with Carson Wentz. And they did that kind of RPO, and the guys going up the sideline, they got 2 guys in the backside of the play 5 yards downfield blocking a run.
Can't do that, but they get away with it. They get away with it.
What about 1 foot in for catches?
You know, obviously I like that, and being an offensive coach, that would be cool. But I love the fact that we have the best 2 foot guy in the league. I mean, there's nobody better than Hopkins at getting 2 feet down. I mean, it's incredible. You know, the one that he made yesterday on our sideline. I mean, did you see the slow motion of that one?
Yeah.
That was incredible. So, yeah, I like the 1 foot, but I like the 2 feet because, we got the best guy doing it.
You got an advantage there. Yeah. You also have a pretty big advantage with number 90. And yeah. You know, Pro Bowl voting's going on right now. I know you don't want to get involved with that, but Clowney and Hopkins are two guys who really should earn a trip
here. Yeah.
And Clowney is having quite a campaign for you, especially now with Watt and Whitney out and all the attention he's getting.
Yeah, no, he's playing hard. He's making a bunch of plays. TFL's had a, you know, sat. I mean, he's in the backfield all the time. Runs plays down, bats the ball. He's, you know, I think he needs to, I think they need to call holding more. You know, I think the guy's getting held. But, you know, that's not for me to decide. I'm just saying, I think the guy's a very disruptive player. And, you know, I just hopefully he stays healthy. You know, that's a big thing now with all these guys banged up. I'm not just talking about him. I'm just saying, you know, he's playing a lot of snaps and he's valuable to us, so he rarely comes out of the game.
You know, one of the things you talked about, especially his first couple of years, that you said was big was if he just gets consecutive games and he'll start learn. He has such a high football IQ.
Yeah, he does.
That it'll start to kind of snowball for him. Like, he'll start to see things that are a little different. And look, a great example of that was yesterday. He tried to run that toss crack on him. Of course, they're trying to block him with Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
And he didn't. In the past, I think he would have maybe just run right up field, but he knew it was coming, so he ran to a spot and just didn't even mind Cooper. But it feels like his football IQ really comes to the forefront the more that he continues to play.
Yeah, no, he's a smart player, and the fact that he practices all the time now. You know, the first 2 years, because of injuries and things like that, he just was never out at practice. He couldn't practice. And, you know, now he's out there every day, and I'm a firm believer that you're getting better there too. So, and then getting all the reps in the games, there's no doubt about it. He's a very instinctive player, and the more he sees, the more instinctive he'll be.
How about Brennan Scarlett having a couple of sacks?
Yeah.
I know that's a stat right there, but he seemed to have a pretty good game.
Those were legit sacks, and he's a tough guy. He plays very hard. You know, undrafted guy out of Stanford. You know, really, really good guy. You know, very tough guy. Helps us on special teams. Does a lot of stuff for us.
Back to our Amagi Bank question for a moment. How much college football do you actually get to watch? You must get to see some, maybe on a Saturday night before the game.
I mean, we watched. The guys were mad at me because, you know, Notre Dame Miami's going on, but that was a blowout. So I was kind of fortunate there. They were wanting to go to the meetings, but the Alabama Mississippi State game was going to overtime, and so we got to see the end of that. So, no, I don't watch a whole, you know, a whole lot of it. I think once I go upstairs, I'm either getting stuff ready for the morning or going straight to sleep, you know, get some sleep. But I try to watch a little bit.
You know about the turnover chain then, right?
Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool, man.
It is cool. It is cool.
Because now they're not, you know, getting the taunting. I'm talking about any team that thinks of that. They're coming over to celebrate with their teammates.
Yeah.
Yep. It's like a big deal. Their whole team is celebrating. That's what I noticed. I thought it was pretty cool.
They said the cheers were louder for the chain than they were for the touchdowns.
Yeah, I think that's a great – I think that's pretty cool that they're doing that. Mark Richt's doing a great job there.
All right. Coach, thanks a lot. Good luck against Arizona.
Thanks, guys.